Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Instead of trying to extinguish the fire in the region, it appears that Washington is adding more fuel to the fire of instability and terrorism in the Middle East. This as the U.S. plans to provide air cover for militants trained by the U.S. in fighting against the Syrian government of President Bashar al-Assad. By the way, it is that Syrian government whose troops are combating ISIL in the same area, the same terrorist group that the U.S. says that it has vowed to stop. So exactly what does it all mean? Well, stay with us as we take a look at the latest situation in the region with the U.S. and ISIL.
The United States is getting more deeply involved in the war in Syria and, as expected, in favor of the foreign-backed militants seeking the overthrow of the Syrian government. U.S. officials say President Barack Obama has authorized the use of air power to protect a newly trained militant group in Syria against other militant groups or Syrian government forces. Observers believe the decision increases the risk of the U.S. military coming into direct conflict with the Syrian government. It also follows discussions between the United States and Turkey on creating a so-called safe zone along the Turkish-Syrian border. Washington and Ankara are planning to send the militants they have trained into the zone as well as into other areas in northern Syria.
The idea of collateral damage, the Western nations don't seem to worry about. They are engaged in wars of aggression, which have no real purpose other than a cosmetic purpose for the American and British publics.
Russia has already condemned the U.S. over its plan to provide air cover for anti-Damascus militants. Moscow said any such move will further destabilize Syria. It also warned that the air support could undermine the Syrian government's potential to fight the ISIL terrorists. The U.S.-backed militants are allegedly trained to fight the ISIL Takfiri terrorism.
They don't even care about keeping a facade of not supporting groups that later join al-Qaeda. You know, even the ex-ambassador Robert Ford himself said there are no moderate groups in Syria and they're all somehow linked to al-Qaeda. So it just sort of shows this doublespeak that they're saying one thing in when they're being honest, and on the other hand, they're pretending that, you know, nobody actually knows the truth.
Washington is already carrying out airstrikes against what it calls the positions of ISIL terrorists in Syria and neighboring Iraq without a UN mandate. But the attacks have caused mass civilian casualties and damage to the two countries' infrastructure. The U.S. and its allies have been siding with the anti-Damascus militants since the onset of the conflict in the Arab nations several years ago. The U.S. president has openly called for the downfall of his Syrian counterpart Bashar al-Assad on several occasions. This, analysts believe, is aimed at altering the geopolitics of the region in the long run in favor of the strategic interests of the United States and its staunch regional ally Israel.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program out of Memphis, Mr. Dean Henderson, author and political commentator, and out of London, Mr. Richard Millett, journalist and political commentator. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in London. And Mr. Millett, the U.S. says its main priority is stopping terrorist groups, especially ISIL, which has wreaked so much havoc in the region. If this is the case, then why do we see Washington fighting against forces which have been so successful in fighting ISIL?
Well, America is just hoping to beat off ISIL and then basically, the idea is, I guess, to transform Syria into a democratic state, which Assad didn't want to happen. He's unelected. The people of Syria, on the whole, oppose him. And he seems to be on the back foot at the moment as well. He said last week that he can't hold many areas of Syria. They're going to have to take troops away to support other areas of Syria. So he isn't putting up much of a fight against ISIL.
Mr. Millett, what would you say is the priority? What would you say is a priority for the United States, fighting ISIL or fighting against the Syrian government?
Well, I think that they're backing, they want to, I think most of the world, as we've seen, most of the reasonable world wants to back the Kurds. It's the Kurds who are actually doing all the fighting on the ground against ISIL. They haven't got air cover. It's all mainly, ISIL, the Kurds are fighting and the Syrian moderates are fighting against Assad, and they're fighting against Islamic State.
Okay, so let me
really
switch over.
There's a lot of sympathy.
Mr. Henderson, your take on what Mr. Millett is saying, because what we do know is that the Syrian military has been fighting so many fronts, and one of them definitely has been ISIL. But at the same time now, the United States is trying to up the ante against the Syrian government. So what exactly does that mean?
Well, you can't have it both ways. I mean, we're the ones who trained originally these Takfiri terrorists in Jordan, the CIA did, along with the Turks, funded by the Saudis. So, you know, you fund these guys, you turn them loose on Assad. It's the same result you're going to get as you got in Libya, where you overthrew Gaddafi, and now you got a bunch of crazy Islamists in power. So I don't really, there's no logical reason from a foreign policy standpoint that the United States would even be doing this. The only reason they're doing it seems to be economic reasons, led by the big oil companies, because Kirkuk in northern Iraq is full of oil, and that's been already granted to ExxonMobil. They've got a contract on it, but they can't get a decent percentage out of the Iraqi government, out of Al-Abadi. So they're trying to pressure the Iraqi government using ISIS. They're also stealing oil. The ISIS people are stealing oil from Syria, which is state-owned oil, and they're flooding the oil markets. That also helps the big oil companies, because they're going to end up, a lot of companies are going to go bankrupt during this oil decline, so they're going to go out and buy a bunch of new assets on the cheap, these big oil companies are. So it's big oil in cahoots with the same old crowd. The Mossad's involved. The Israelis are treating ISIS in their hospitals. It has nothing to do with putting democracy in Syria. It has everything to do with privatizing the Syrian economy, handing it over to the corporations and the Rothschild bankers who don't control the Central Bank of Syria like they do many countries. I might also add the Iranians are fighting ISIS on the ground, as is Hezbollah. And yeah, why doesn't the United States, if they really want to get rid of ISIS, why don't we just get on the side of these people and get rid of them? So it does beg the question of what's going on here.
Okay, and Mr. Millett, your take on what Mr. Henderson has said. He basically is saying, as you just heard, that Washington has created and supported this terrorist group actually for the interests of big business.
No, I don't think that's true, but Mr. Henderson obviously doesn't like democracy in the Middle East. He sits in a democracy in America, but he's happily sitting there in America calling for more support for the tyrant President Assad, who hasn't been elected, who has the support of only his own sect of people. Most people in Syria would like to see a democracy, would like to see Assad removed. And if that had happened at the beginning, when there were calls for it in the Arab Spring, then we might not have seen the takeover
of ISIS. Mr. Millett, you've made a few comments. I want you to actually expand on some of your comments that you've just made, because you said that you called Bashar al-Assad the tyrant, that he has never been elected. And of course, we know that there have been elections in Syria. But if that is the criteria, and we look at the Middle East and the region in general, and we look at entities such as Saudi Arabia, such as Bahrain, such as Qatar, such as Kuwait, and on and on and on, these entities that there are no elections, especially Saudi Arabia, then why isn't the United States adamant about changing the Saudi regime that also is behind a lot of this Takfiri violence?
Well, I agree with you. I mean, no one, I have no love or support for what's going on in Saudi Arabia, Qatar. Many of these countries, the sadness is that there doesn't seem to be democracy in any of those countries. It's a fact, it's commonly said, but it's true that the only democracy in the Middle East is Israel. And it's a shame that the countries surrounding Israel haven't got the democracy where the oil revenue can get to the people. Instead of the likes of Iran, for example, again, no democracy, where one man at the top takes all the decisions and where all the money goes to the few, either the Iranian regime and the Revolutionary Guard. So Iran is a prime example where democracy would be preferred. And as we saw, unfortunately, when there were elections, many people were killed opposing the result.
Okay, Mr. Millett, definitely we've gotten way off topic. Mr. Henderson, your take. My question was basically, if this is about actually democracy, we definitely have enough entities in the Middle East that are not democracies. And we see that Saudi Arabia is the main culprit behind ISIL. So why doesn't the United States target the Saudis?
Because the Saudis go along with big oil, they go along with the London banksters, they go along with the program, they play ball, and they privatize their entire economy. Most of the Saudi domestic economy is run by the likes of Halliburton and Kellogg and Fluor Daniel, ExxonMobil, Mobil, Chevron, BP. All these companies have joint ventures in Saudi Arabia, and it's all privatized. So I'm not sure what Mr. Millett's referring to when he says Iran is this country where the people don't get the revenue. Iran's the only country in the Middle East at the time, and Syria, where the people of the country get the oil revenue. You know, it used to happen in Iraq until that economy was privatized through invasion. So it's just this classic sort of ignorance about the Middle East, and Iran and Syria are the bad guys, and there's no democracy, even though they have elections in both Iran and Syria. And there's no elections in Saudi, there's no elections in Kuwait, there's no elections in UAE, there's no elections in Qatar, there's no elections in Oman, there's no elections in any of the allies that the United States has in this region, which are not democracies. So it has nothing to do, again, with, you know, bringing democracy to the Middle East. Oh, the great white hope, here we come again, the Brits and the U.S., they're going to bring democracy. Well, just so you know, Mr. Millett, we really don't even have democracy in the United States anymore, because it's just pretty much whichever candidate spends the most money wins the election, in the presidential election. So, you know, we don't know any more about democracy than Saudi Arabia does in some respects. So maybe we need to learn something from the Syrians, where the Ba'ath Party actually brought together all Christians, Muslims from all sects. That's what the whole Ba'ath concept was forget about your sectarianism, come together as a people, let's have a populist economy where the state runs certain parts of the economy and gives the money to the people instead of privatizing everything for Wall Street and all these bankers and corporations, which is what the sort of same old, you know, is about. So it's just ridiculous to insinuate that somehow we're trying to bring democracy to Syria. It's a joke.
Okay, well, let's cross over.
It's all about money.
Let's cross over. We're going to cross over to our Facebook page and see what some of our viewers have commented on this subject.
Defend? How can they call it defending when they have armed and trained groups to attack Assad and are now using air power to assist in yet another attempted regime change? This is the beginning of the direct intervention in the Syrian conflict by the US and Turkey. Now, the US will attack the Takfiris fighting against their new proxies, moderate Al-Qaeda elements armed and trained by the US and Turkey. Later, when these moderates start fighting the Syrian forces, the US will step in and attack the Syrian forces and their allies. More suffering and destruction of Syria. America cannot establish democracy in any country. ISIL is created by the US, so we must defend them. Great declaration from US President. US and its allies, mind your own business. You all have meddled in the whole world. Enough is enough. You have invited more troubles at your own doorsteps. Let the world live peacefully. No more evidence is needed. This planet is unruled by rule and order. The so-called UN is fake. The leader of a big nation, US, plans to attack people of war-affected nations like Syria. It's purely act of terror. Once Turkey started to attack the Kurds, the next step was as planned, the United States attacking Syria along with their criminal friends ISIL. USA declared war to Syria for no legitimate reason. Where is the Security Council? Law of jungle underway. US is a big danger for peace in the world.
Well, you've heard some of the comments. What about it, Mr. Millett? Do you think, as one of the comments stated, that the U.S. actually will ultimately now get involved directly in the crisis at Syria? The situation is deteriorating so much, they're offering the air cover, that ultimately it will become more directly involved.
No, I don't think there's going to be any direct involvement of America. I think they're training, they're trying to create a buffer zone, or trying to help Turkey create a buffer zone. America has just done a deal with Iran. Obama's given Iran virtually everything on the plate that they wanted there. They're not going to want to come into contact against Iran. As Mr. Henderson said, Iran is involved heavily in Syria, defending the Assad regime. So America does not want to get involved. It's going to, the fighting's going to continue to be done by the Free Syrian Army, and as I said previously, by the Kurdish men and the Kurdish women who are bravely taking on ISIS, while Assad, as he admitted last week, is on the back foot and his army can't really fight ISIS to the extent that they want anymore. So it looks as if the Kurds are doing the work for everyone, and it's the Kurds
well,
that need to be
that.
Praised.
You've mentioned the Kurds,
supported.
Mr. Millett. You've mentioned the Kurds, Mr. Millett, and we look at the Kurds, especially in Iraq, and now we see U.S. ally Turkey that is actually targeting the Kurds, and many would say that the same Kurds have been the ones that have been successful in fighting ISIL on the ground in Iraq. So what is this? It seems very paradoxical. On the one hand, the U.S. says it is fighting against ISIL, but we see one in Iraq that they are missing a lot of attacks, allegedly on ISIL. They've actually put supplies on the ground for ISIL, and now we see them actually fighting against the entity, the Syrian government, who is fighting the most against ISIL in Syria. So tell me, what is going on in your perspective?
Well, I don't think there's any support at all from America for ISIL. I think that they are bombing ISIL. They're bombing from Turkey. Now Turkey's allowed America to use the American Air Force base to bomb ISIL. And Turkey are now supposedly bombing ISIL, although unfortunately they're also taking a bit further than that. They're also bombing the PKK, and the PKK seem to be attacking the Turks. So there's the prospect of another civil war breaking out there once again inside Turkey. But okay. The idea is for the Free Syrian Army, the Turks and the Kurds, to hopefully wipe out ISIS and then transform Syria to a democratic state.
Okay, very interesting analysis, Mr. Henderson. We are getting from London. Your take, sir, in general, now we see them basically upping the ante, Washington saying that they're going to be giving air cover. How likely is this to exacerbate the situation in Syria in general?
Well, it's going to be some nice arms deals for somebody, and that's really the key. Again, it's about money, it's about oil, it's about permanent war economy of the United States is what it's about. So you're going to arm the Kurds, you're going to arm the ISIS, you're going to arm, who are you going to arm? The Free Syrian Army. Who can we arm next? Oh, the Turks maybe. And the Turks are going to do this buffer zone, and it's all probably going to be about running a bunch of smack from Afghanistan through there, because the Grey Wolves, Mafia, and Turkey is heavily involved in the drug trade going from Afghanistan to Europe. So there'll be drugs going through there, there'll be new ISIS trainees being trained there, and yeah, there is no moderate Syrian elements. These are all crazy Islamists, okay? So I just don't really understand, I guess, after 9/11, after the London subway bombings, you know, how can these people be so ignorant that they will support any sort of Islamist movement against any sort of non-Islamist government like Assad? It's a secular government, the women don't have to wear burqas. There's several women in the cabinet in the Syrian government. I mean, in many ways, a very progressive government. And here you are supporting these Islamists and these medieval people who cut off heads. Where's the U.S.? Why aren't we bombing the hell out of ISIS? Where's London? You know, what's really going on here? Because if we really want to get rid of ISIS, I don't think it'd be that hard to do. But no, we don't. We want to train and create more ISIS kind of people to attack Assad, to attack Hezbollah, to encircle Iran. On behalf of big oil, on behalf of the privatization crowd that runs all the central banks and owns all the stock in every corporation in the world. And that's what it's about. So it's a moneymaker. One of the things they're trying to stave off is global deflation through this permanent war, more and more conflict, more and more arms sales and rebuilding contracts. And why, by the way, is ISIS systematically destroying all this Iraqi history? I mean, if they're really Muslims, you know, fanatic Muslims, why would they be systematically destroying the most advanced Muslim civilization on Earth that we know of? So there's something funny here. And it's pretty obvious. It's all the same as 1947 when the British created the Muslim Brotherhood, the Aga Khan Foundation in Pakistan, and started down the road of funding these jihadi Islamists to one, discredit Islam, and to two, to do the bidding of the international bankers, because essentially they're a bunch of right-wing monopoly capitalist type people, the Taliban, the Saudis, ISIS, the Free Syrian Army, and all your moderates, Mr. Millett, they're all the same, you know, you see, and that it's very consistent with what the international bankers and capitalists want to, where they want to go, which is where ISIS wants to go, to the same place, which is backwards to some medieval state where no women have rights, where the poor don't get anything, where there's no schools for anybody, where everything's privatized. There's a few kings, queens, sultans, emirs, whatever. And that's our buddies in the Middle East, and that's why they hate Assad, because his country's not like that. The people actually have some economic means, and there's an economy, and it helps everyone. And that's why they hate Syria, and that's why they hate Iran. It's just simple.
And on that note, so sorry we're out of time, but I'd like to thank both my guests, Mr. Dean Henderson, author and political commentator, out of Memphis, and out of London, Mr. Richard Millett, also political commentator and journalist. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thanks so much, and goodbye.